Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Hamish McBain and welcome to Who Wants to Be a London Mayor?
We'll see, won't we?
I want to expose the fact that he'll do a consultation and then take absolutely no notice of it whatsoever.
Yes, I'm really proud that I was the mayor who froze TfL fares between 2016 and 2021. What Londoners want to see is a mayor doing his job he's required to do by statute.
A series of special episodes of the Standard podcast focusing on London's bitterly contested mayoral election. It can often feel almost as though, in the context of politics, young people are talked about in the third person. Young people want this, young people don't want that, and so on and so forth. It's definitely also a reality that life, for a lot of young people, and young people born and bred in London especially, is pretty tough. To find out just how tough, what they make of the mayor, the mayoral elections, and what a London mayor could do differently that will make a difference to young people, I've come to the Old Street HQ of London Youth.
Homelessness is a big problem in our area. I wanted to do something to help.
I love dance and I wanted to create something positive.
I realised I could use music to bring the community together. So I started the Good Vibes Festival.
With a little help, we created something we could all be proud of.
London Youth are a charity that have been going for 135 years and are focused on giving those young people who wouldn't otherwise access to the kind of opportunities they'd otherwise miss out on. Last year alone, they worked with 28,100 young people through sports development, employability, youth action, involvement, mental health, arts and outdoor education programmes. Their member network supported over 600,000 young Londoners. Their vision is that all young Londoners grow up healthy, able to express themselves, navigate a fulfilling career and make a positive contribution in their communities. As part of this, teaming up with Partnership for Young London, they've put together a Young Londoners Manifesto 2024, which includes a series of specific asks for the London Mayor. So let's get inside and find out a bit more about it.
Hi, welcome to London Youth. Come in, come in.
Joining me now are Hannah and Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hello, do you want to introduce yourselves and tell me a bit about yourselves first?
Hi, I'm Elizabeth and I'm from Penge in like Bromley. And I'm a full-time student and I do A-levels. And I'm also on the London Youth Board.
Hello, my name is Hannah and I'm from Wembley. I'm also studying my A-levels and a member of London Youth Board.
Should say they're both studying politics as well, so they know what they're talking about. So you both were involved in youth clubs. Do you think that was really helpful to you to be able to be part of a youth club? And more broadly, do you think London is doing well? I mean, there's a lot of talk about how there aren't enough youth clubs and all that kind of thing. How do you see it?
I did my work experience at a youth club and it really just like opened my eyes that there is a massive need for youth clubs and more of them, because there's so few of them and they just bring so much impact to people, not just directly the kids that attend, but their families, their schools, their friends. I just think they're so important.
So I moved to London just 2 years ago and I thought that it's very important for me to get to know new people new people and the borough I live in. And when I was looking in Google, the youth clubs in Wembley, I found only two youth clubs. One of them was just faith one, so strictly for Muslim people. And another one was the youth club I currently go in. And I would say that there is a big issue with youth clubs, especially in different boroughs. I was living in Hammersmith before I moved to Wembley, and I didn't hear anything about any youth club in that area, so I don't really think there are enough advertisements of the youth club and youth services in London.
Are the people you go to school with, are they, you know, are they aware of youth clubs and of what goes on there and like how what a positive thing it could be?
Not really, especially after the COVID. There were so many cuts to youth services in London, and it's a big issue because all of my friends, they're not involved in any kind of youth club thing. And it was just because of my desire to join some youth club or to be a part of a youth-led organization, which actually led me to find the youth club.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, if there aren't youth clubs, you're not aware of like the positives that there are and the impact that they can have on people. And I think it's a shame, really.
In terms of London Youth, are there any like specific stories of people you've encountered that are really positive, that demonstrate how it can help and how young people can turn their lives around and whatever?
So I can say that my youth club is Ansar Youth Project. It's part of London Youth, and it's actually helped me a lot to assimilate, if I can use this word, to this kind of London culture and to my area. I can actually feel myself as part of our community. For instance, I participated in a heritage program, and we talked to a range of different people from different backgrounds. In my youth club, everyone is from different backgrounds, and it's very important for us because we can build this confidence in meeting new people, in talking to them, and just to generally improve our communicative skills. We know how to be respectful to other people, and it's one of the most important areas for me, I think.
I mean, I've attended a couple of APPG events on youth affairs, and just people there, they say so many kind of insightful stories that they've heard or that they've experienced. I mean, I went to one a couple of years ago, and this boy, he had travelled down from, I want to say, like Manchester or something, and basically the only reason he could afford to be there was because I think it was YMCA were paying for it, and it was about the cost of living crisis. It was just like a really tough, like awful story. And like, it was just to offer his insight, and the only reason he could afford to be there was because it was paid for him, rather than kind of he had the spare cash too. Even at the youth board meetings, some of the things people say is awful, like the stories people tell about their lives or other people, it's really bad.
I mean, you guys are both obviously quite engaged in, you know, you both study politics. What percentage of your friends or your peers do you think would vote in the London election without being kind of told it's really important? Are they engaged with the process?
To be honest, when I asked my friends what do they think about mayoral elections, they said that they don't know what are they actually doing. And when I asked them what are the most significant characteristics our London mayor have to have, they said that they're not sure because they think that it's the government who's doing all of this stuff in London and not the mayor. They cannot see this difference between mayor and government. So I'm not sure that they will actually go to these elections.
Yeah, I think similar. I think people don't really realise how much the mayor can impact. I think a lot of it is just associated with the government. But yeah, I'd say maybe like 60%, hopefully. Maybe a bit less.
The Young Londoners Manifesto 2024, which is asking direct questions to whoever the mayor may be. Do you want to talk a bit about what's in that, like what the key parts of that are?
So we had our recent meeting and we discussed lots of different areas, such as cost of living, mental health. But this time we want to focus more on the mental health issues and how does it link to the school exclusions? Why so many people may decide to go to their youth club but not to go to their school. And as a youth worker, I can actually see this picture because many young people I work with, many of them are homeschooled, but they still regularly attend all of our youth club sessions. And I would say that these are the key areas we want to focus in.
We're calling for the future mayor to be ambitious about young people in the capital and to ensure that we're reaching our potential with access to like place-based youth work, housing and then mental health support with physical activities and then like good quality food as well.
Let's take a quick break. In part two, we'll hear a bit more from Elizabeth and Hannah.
To be honest, all I hear about Sadiq Khan is about you, Les, and how people don't like him for you, Les. And I feel bad for him, like, because it wasn't really his initiative, you, Les. He just had to carry it on.
In the meantime, make sure to hit follow on this podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
What do you guys make of Sadiq? Are you in favour of him broadly? Are there things that he's doing well, things that he's doing badly, or...?
To be honest, I think that many young people don't see him as the next mayor because they don't really see his involvement in youth programmes. Although we know that he came to London Youth, he gave his speech and... we know that he actually involved and he cares about young people. For other young people who are not the part of London Youth, it may be seen that his involvement is not enough to actually do some changes.
I mean, to be honest, all I hear about Sadiq Khan is about you, Les, and how people don't like him for you, Les. And I feel bad for him, like, because it wasn't really his initiative, you, Les. He just had to carry it on. And yeah, I think if people wanted Sadiq Khan... and if he wanted to stay as mayor, he should probably say what else he does rather than... because I think you, Les, clouds a lot of...
Do you think it's in danger of becoming a one-issue election?
Yeah, I think basically, especially where I live, because I'm on the border of you, Les. Like, people... a lot of people do not like Sadiq Khan because of you, Les. And, like, all the... we got traffic lights cut down because of you, Les. Like, yeah, it gets really bad. When actually, like, it's not just you, Les. He controls, he does TfL. I know he put a freeze on TfL fares and he's, like, renaming all the overground lines, but that doesn't really come into it. I mean, just where I live, it's more you, Les.
Yeah, I mean, you, Les is certainly dominating all the headlines at the moment, isn't it? I mean, do you think much of Susan Hall?
To be honest, I've never really thought about it.
I've never...
because...
I've actually never heard of her, I'm really sorry.
It's so bad, I'm so sorry.
It doesn't sound like she's figuring in your thoughts, especially. Are there any of the other candidates you've interested in? I mean, it does feel a bit like Sadiq's quite a way in front, but...
I'd vote for Sadiq Khan, to be honest.
I cannot really say that we know a lot about other candidates because we don't really see their involvement in kind of youth-led projects or, generally speaking, about... involvement in youth clubs. So it's not really the area we like other candidates, we don't really think about them.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any of the other candidates.
Would your message to young people be that politics is something worth paying attention to and worth getting involved in?
Yes, definitely. And we met like a big range of different people. We met youth clubs just for Latina young women. And all of the youth club we met, they said that they didn't see that authorities actually pay attention to them. They didn't think that authorities, they help young people. And I would say that young people would have to be involved if we want to improve our lives. because it will be our generation who will be living in this London and like in the next couple of years, and it will be our generation who will have to build stronger kind of sense of community in London.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, like Hannah said, it's going to be us that are affected by it. Like as much as people say, like, oh, it's going to affect us, these are long-term things that are going to affect us, like, in 10, 15 years. Just even, like, with rent costs, it's going to affect in 5 years whether we stay in London or not.
So do you see yourselves being involved with young people in London, like, when you start working stuff, like, full-time? Is that something, is that an area you'd like to get into?
Yeah, I'm currently a youth worker in my youth club, actually. I did my qualification in the youth club, so I think that's, in the future, I will probably be doing it on volunteer basis, but I'm not sure if it will be a profession I would like to choose because there are not enough fundings and it's actually scary. We are losing so many good youth workers, and even now I have to do it on volunteer basis. We don't have enough people, so it's very hard to say if there will be any kind of youth work involved in our future.
I mean, I'd definitely like to be involved in something to do with youth work. And I think just like helping people and like just helping change situations and do things like that. But not necessarily at a youth club, but I'm not really sure what I want to do when I'm older.
And that's it for this week's episode of Who Wants to Be a London Mayor? There's more news, interviews and analysis in the Evening Standard newspaper and at standard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.